So good morning. So as Tim said, the children would like to go to their classes. And for us in here, we're finishing off our series in the kind of the summer series, the key questions. We've been looking at this topical series, things like how can I know I'm saved? Should I be baptized? Should I become a church member? Should I serve? And things like that. How important is prayer? So important questions. Today we're looking at perhaps more of a practical question. Perhaps you think it would be more suitable for a seminar, but reading on the subject, I think it is very good to have it, not just as a seminar, but a sermon. So we're looking at the question, how can I listen to sermons better? Obviously, Tim and myself, the elders, have invested interest in this. When we're preaching, we want people to listen. So let's turn to God's Word, see what God's Word has to say on the subject. And if you could turn to James chapter 1. I'll just read a short section there. 19 to 27. And in my translation, anyway, it's been given that titled Listening and Doing. And that's what we want from every sermon, to listen and then do what we've been told from God's Word. So, James chapter 1, starting at verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. Religion that God's Our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this. Look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Amen. So as we look at this subject, we need God's help to listen. So let's pray to begin with. Dear Lord, we do thank you for your words. Lord, we thank you for the hymns we've sung and the great promises. Lord, we thank you that we sang earlier, that we will stand on the promises of your word. And Lord, we pray that as we look at your word now, that you'll help us to listen. Lord, we pray that we'll realize that the Bible seems to separate that hearing is not the same as listening. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us listen this morning, as we just read in James, that we'll do what it says as well. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit be at work in the lives of everyone today, that the aim of today, that the aim of every sermon is that we will leave here more Christ-like and to put into practice what your word teaches us. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. So it's great that we've got 10 of those here this morning, where we can have great books that point us to Jesus. At the end of this morning, not only do go and look at the books, do go and buy stuff to learn more and to be pointed towards Christ, but we're also, you're going to be given one of these for free today as well. It's called Listen Up, it's by Christopher Ash. So there's a table at the back and every family will be getting one of these. So again, it's to help us listen to sermons best. It says a practical guide to listening to sermons. We didn't actually get them from 10 of those, but we'll keep that quiet. But every single one of us will be getting a copy of this today. And now in writing this sermon this morning, there wasn't really many resources available. I did look on 10 of those, I looked at some good book company and everything like that, and there's lots of things written about how to write a sermon, what we can do to put a sermon together. There's not that many resources written to help us listen to sermons. Christopher Ash, in this himself, says, I've not read anything written in the last 200 years on how to listen to sermons. Now, I've read this. I've read a few other bits and pieces on the subject, so I'm fairly confident to say, in writing this sermon, I've read everything there is to read written in the last 100 years on the subject. So I'm fairly confident of that. But why do we need a sermon like this? Why do we even need a sermon like this? Surely listening is pretty simple. If you've been brought up in church, perhaps you've been listening to sermons your entire life. Why do you need suddenly now a sermon on how to listen? Surely all we need to do is just sit there, try and stay awake to the end, and then, lovely jubbly, you've listened to a sermon. Well, often for some it's the staying awake part's the issue. But surely, listening to a sermon is not something you take part in. It's perhaps something that is done to you or inflicted upon you. But we don't need to perhaps have a talk. You don't need guidance perhaps on how to listen to your TV, how to listen to the radio. So surely it's no different listening to a sermon. But the Bible suggests it's not the same at all. And that's this point that the Bible makes clear that hearing is not the same as listening. In Luke chapter 8, after Jesus has finished his Sermon on the Mount, he says in verse 18, "Consider carefully how you listen." And despite what you may think, actually listening requires, not just me, but it requires you to be extremely active. In college, in Bible college, I did a short counselling course called Active Listening. It shows that listening is not a passive thing. Listening requires and demands a response. It's the same with sermons. Listening to sermons Sunday by Sunday by Sunday, month after month, year after year, is actually life and death business. In Mark chapter 4, verse 12, it suggests actually we may be ever hearing but never understanding. That it's possible to have ears that hear but fail to hear, if you understand that. That listening to sermons may do many things, but listening to a sermon should never leave you unchanged. So the format of this booklet, it lists seven ways that that we can listen to sermons better. I'll be taking six of those ways this morning and using his points. So I'm basically rehashing what he's done, but explaining it a bit more and looking at different angles as well. So we're looking at 6 points. He suggests seven. He also talks about how we can listen to bad sermons. He also talks about how what we can do to get better sermons. So I wonder how many people, after listening today, will go to that bad sermon section. We'll see. But hopefully you'll find this time valuable. Hopefully you'll find this booklet valuable. And the points we're going to look at, he suggests one more, but the points we're going to look at this morning, I've got 6 points. I would never usually want to do that, but as you're all getting a copy of this, I feel less guilty about it. So the points we're looking at anyway are: expect God to speak. Admit God knows better than you. Check the preacher says is what the passage says. Hear the sermon in church. Be there week by week. And finally, do what the Bible says today. So, first point. Expect God to speak. Expect God to speak. Now, say later on, perhaps this week, you got told that to expect a phone call this week. And expect a phone call from the Prime Minister, Theresa May. How excited would you be by that? I mean, maybe excitement's not the word, maybe nervous, and maybe actually you wouldn't be looking forward to it at all, but maybe that's a bad illustration. Let's say, expect a phone call from your favourite sportsman or sportswoman, perhaps your most loved musician or your most loved artist, and they want to call you at a certain time just to have a chat with you, to talk about what they do. And when the time came for that phone call, you'd wait expectantly, wouldn't you, by the phone to hear from this person, eager and excited to hear from this person you greatly admire. Well, when we come into church, there should be that excitement week by week, that anticipation, that we should be paying close attention, actually hanging on to every single word. Now, we might think that's over the top, but it's not. Actually, when we come into church, we should listen to these sermons with that eager expectation, because we should be listening expectantly, because we're hearing God himself speaking to us, speaking through the preacher who teaches the Bible accurately and faithfully. When we hear the Bible faithfully preached, we're hearing God's word himself. But where do we see that in the Bible? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We're going on to a series in 1 Thessalonians soon. And when those in Thessalonica, when they heard the gospel preached, and we read, actually, they accepted it, not as human words, but as it actually is, the word of God. Obviously, they heard the word preached to them by a person, but at the same time, they recognized that the words were actually words of God. Now, you may remember about a year ago, if you were here, we did our series on the Reformation, celebrating the 500 years of the Reformation. And we heard there that we're not saved by works, and not saved by superstitions or traditions. The Reformation fought for that we're saved by grace alone. We looked at those five solas, didn't we? That we're saved by grace alone, by Christ alone. And we encounter Christ in the Bible. Reformation thinking said that when God's word is preached, not only do we hear God's voice, actually we experience God's presence. They use kind of this illustration. Reformers said this, that imagine a small girl waking up at night and she cries out for her father. She can't see him. It's dark. She's confused. She's scared. And then she hears the voice of her father saying, "It's fine. Everything's okay. I'm right here. You go back to sleep." The voice of her father, she can't see him, but the voice of her father reassures her that he's there. And in the same way, the voice of God is in the preaching of the Bible, and that's a sign of his presence here with us. And this mentality should give us a very, very high view of sermons. This should give us a very high view of preaching. It shouldn't give us a high view of preachers, but it should give us a high view of preaching. For example, Luther, one of the reformers, said he loved the story reminding preachers of Balaam's donkey in Numbers 22, where God opens the mouth of the donkey to speak to Balaam. And obviously Luther's argument was, if God can use a donkey to speak to Balaam, then God can speak to you for a mere human preacher. You can fill in your own joke there. But, therefore, preaching and listening to sermons is more simply than just a transfer of information on a Sunday morning and evening. Sometimes we'll learn new things. That's great. But that's not a measure of a good sermon, finding out new things. A wife on her anniversary, I had my anniversary recently, and Nicola didn't want to know new information from me on her wedding anniversary. She wanted actually to be reassured of things that she already knows, of my love, my care, the vows that we said on our wedding day, the promises we made, the continued love. And that's what Christ does for his bride, does for us, week by week, through the faithful preaching of his word. And listening to a sermon should be treated every week with the utmost seriousness. And there's nothing casual about listening to a sermon. Nothing at all. Because there's nothing casual about hearing from a living God. We read about Ezra in Nehemiah chapter 8. And Ezra, when he read God's word, when he preached from God's word, all the people stood up as a sign and a mark of respect. Maybe we should do that on a Sunday morning and evening. I don't know what you think about that. Maybe not. We wouldn't need new chairs then, would we? But anyway, that wasn't scripted. Anyway, but there should be that kind of sense of that stunned silence when we approach God's words. When we hear it preached, it should never be taken lightly or flippantly. When we hear the voice of God, we should be approaching Sunday morning and Sunday evening expecting to hear God speak to us. This is precisely why we meet twice on a Sunday, not just once. We live in a day and an age when information and so many things are telling us anti-gospel things, telling us the best ways to be happy without God, telling the best ways to live our life without him. Therefore, we need to hear from God more in these days, not less. And that's why we meet twice on a Sunday. So how can you listen to sermons better? expect to hear God speak. Point two, I think that's the longest point, but point two, admit God knows better than you. Every single week we come to church. Every single one of us, as we come in, brings baggage with us. That in the sense, we all have our preconceived ideas. We all have our own ideas about what is right, what is wrong, what is normal and acceptable, what is not. And we all come to the Bible with our own ideas already. That none of us, as it were, comes to a sermon as a blank sheet of paper. That all of us come with our lives already scribbled all over it. Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, we will get our views, our beliefs from culture, from media, from family and friendship groups. And to be honest, if you're honest with yourself, perhaps what you want to hear on a Sunday morning in a sermon is for the Bible to tell us that we're okay. That what we've done is okay. How we're living is okay. What we believe is okay. But it isn't okay. We all come to the Bible as extremely, completely messed up people. Unable to think straight. Unable to act right. To speak right. In James, that passage we read, James 1, 23 and 24, anyone who listens to the word of God but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. And it goes on to say that that person then forgets what he looks like if we're not listening to God's word. But firstly, just with that mirror illustration, firstly, the Bible shows us, it's like a mirror, it shows us what we're really like, warts and all. And that means we should expect the Bible to tell us that we're not okay, to call us to repentance, to turn from sin. Faithful preaching will never make you feel comfortable about sin in your life. If you leave church on a Sunday feeling comfortable about a certain sin in your life, something has gone drastically wrong, either with the hearing, the listening, or with the sermon. And in 2 Timothy verse 4, chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy that people will not put up with, will not listen to sound doctrine anymore. That people will not want to listen to what the Bible has to say. That people will naturally go to the places, the clubs, the pubs, to give them what their itching ears want to hear. Faithful preaching will continue, as it has done in history, will continue to cause offence. Spurgeon says, if you really long to save men's souls, you must tell them a great deal of disagreeable truth. And that means sometimes from this platform, from this pulpit, you will sometimes hear things that will hurt you. Sometimes we may even feel insulted. We may come actually with the mindset, oh, how dare the Bible say that same-sex marriage is wrong? How dare the Bible say how I should spend my own money? How dare the Bible intrude on private family matters? Well, do you not think God knows better than you? Exactly. And we should humbly admit that the Bible is right, we are wrong, that God is God, and it's not the Bible that needs to change, it is us that needs to change. And again, what it says in James 1, verse 21, therefore get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. How can you listen to sermons better? Realize it's not the Bible that needs changing, it's us. To be more Christ-like, admit that God knows better the new. Thirdly, check the preacher says what the passage says. I love this point. It's really important. This is one of the areas as well where we see that listening is an activity, not a passivity. We're not just sitting back without checking what the preacher's doing, just thinking about our Sunday lunch and just sitting back and not checking whatever. That's not listening, that's brainwashing. If we're watching the news and the news suddenly states a fact, it states some kind of statistic, it makes a claim about something. We want to know where they got their facts from. And people are very aware now of fake news stories, aren't they? And if we're like that with the media, if we're like that with the news, how much more careful do we need to be when it comes to a preacher making claims about God and eternity? We should always be checking if the preacher is actually using the only authority available, God's word. And the question you should always have in your mind when I'm preaching, when Tim's preaching, when one of the elders or someone else is preaching, the question should always be, where did he get that from? Where did he get that from? If you can see where the preacher got it from in the Bible, if the preacher can show you where they got it from, whether you agree or not, we must humbly submit to the authority, not of the preacher, but of God's words. This isn't just one person's opinion against yours. This is God's word against your words. And God's word always trumps your word. So I noticed there's some here that take notes. I can see people scribbling stuff now or typing things on their phones. Hopefully that's notes anyway. But I know some of you, John's giving me a thumbs up at the back as well. Well done, John. But hopefully it helps you focus taking those notes. I know often people find it the opposite, that actually you find it a distraction and you rather listen or whatever, that's fine. Whatever helps you focus more. But what we always must have in hand is a Bible. Always ask, where did he get that from? And that's what we see in Luke's gospel. That's why Luke's gospel was written, actually, answering that question, where's this teaching come from? Where has this come from? So Luke carefully investigates on behalf of his benefactor, Theophilus. It says in Luke chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, with this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. We ask the question, where did he get that from? So we may know the certainty of the things we've been taught. It means we need to know our Bibles, that's for sure. But how can we listen to our sermons better? Check the preacher says, is what the Bible says, is what the passage says. Point four, we're over halfway, don't we? But point four, hear the sermon in church. Hear the sermon in church. I remember when I was an apprentice in a church in Kent, as well as the Sunday sermons, I loved the Sunday preaching that I had there in Kent. But as well as those Sundays in church, I used to listen to sermons every single day, listen probably to a few sermons every single day throughout the week as well. I don't think that was a bad thing. I was hungry for God's word. I wanted to be fed. I wanted to listen to good stuff. But one negative, I think, was this, that the normal place for me to listen to sermons, whether that was in work, whether that was in my bedroom at home, the normal place to listen to sermons became suddenly a very solo thing, a very individual thing. And that's not normal. And the normal place to listen to a sermon is the gathering of God's local people. Tim did a sermon a few weeks ago on church membership. What is the church? The church is not the building, but the assembly, the gathering of God's people, men and women. Now, there's nothing wrong with going home and listening to a sermon online. That's why we put our sermons online. But something special happens when we meet as God's people together, listening to be shaped by his word together. Acts chapter 2, after Peter's sermon at Pentecost, it said this, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? We see there, it wasn't an individual thing. It was a collection thing. It was a gathering thing to all together to respond to God's word. As a church, we are accountable to one another. And we're not hearing alone. We're hearing together. And therefore, as we listen together, we respond together. Hopefully, as a church family, we're aware of each other's needs. So when we talk to each other afterwards, we don't just talk about how to respond individually. That's important. We'll go on to look at that. But we talk about how the Bible passage should shape us as a church, as a local church, all together. In the booklet, it says this, listening on my own to a recording can never be more than a poor second best to actually being there with God's people in the local church. It is better to listen to the pastor you know and who knows you than hear a recording of a well-known preacher you don't know and who doesn't know you. How can you listen to sermons better? Hear the sermon in church. Point five. Not only to hear the sermon in church, but be there week by week. Be there week by week. I'm aware that this isn't your classic, perhaps, Sunday sermon. Perhaps you would have come in this morning and preferred to listen to a sermon on your most loved son or one of Jesus' parables. That this wouldn't be your chosen subject today. Well, if you're thinking that, that's okay. And our next point, we'll look at how we should respond to every single sermon we hear. But that doesn't mean that every single sermon will be exactly what we need to hear that exact day. Not every sermon will precisely scratch precisely where it's itching. Often we do hear, which is great to hear, oh, thank you, that's exactly what I needed to hear this morning. And that's great, praise God. But most of the time, Bible passages might not seem that relevant for you this Sunday morning, right here, right now, with your own circumstances. We did our sermon series in Revelation recently, didn't we, where we would have heard things that in Revelation that describes our past. We heard things that would be relevant for us today, but also we heard things that would be relevant for us in the future. Not every sermon might seem relevant here and now, but that doesn't mean we don't need to hear those lessons. God knows what we need much better than what we do. Sometimes we go through a topical series like we have been doing this summer with these key questions. That's good. That's great. Soon we'll be starting our series in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. I'm doing that in the morning. Tim started a series in Micah, and that's great as well because we're not setting the agenda. God is. He knows what we need most. Sometimes that means things will need to be repeated week after week after week to make sure we know them. And that's okay. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 12 and 13. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you have now. I think it is right to refresh your memory. That the Bible on a Sunday morning, Sunday evening, it's not like a can of Red Bull. It's not to give us an instant energy, an instant quick fix and enthusiasm for the week. The Bible's aim is to shape us, to mold us, to transform us into Christ-likeness. And that takes time. That's why it's so important to be here week after week. Well-known verses, Hebrews 10. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Maybe, actually, what you hear today, what you hear on a Sunday morning, evening, is actually what you need to hear tomorrow. And tomorrow may be too late to learn it. We need to hear these things today so we can let it sink in, take root and to change us. It's great when we hear that sermon is just what we needed to hear that day. But we're not to look for instant, quick fixes. We need to sit here together week by week under the preaching of God's words where God has set the agenda. So how can we listen to sermons better? Be here week by week. And lastly, finally, point six, do what the Bible says today. Do what the Bible says today. So this is 2 points in the booklet, so you can read that later on. But what would you say the aim of a Sunday sermon is? What would you say the aim is? In our reading, we've mentioned these verses earlier. Again, James chapter 1, verses 22-24. Do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looked like. We're to listen to God's words, and we're to respond to God's words. But often we don't. Often after the time of fellowship, the tea and coffee, we leave through the church doors and the message is left behind. People in the Old Testament, people used to love hearing Ezekiel preach. But again, it was just there for mere entertainment. It said in Ezekiel 33, verse 32, "Indeed, to them you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well. For they hear your words, but do not put them into practice." This is definitely seen today, isn't it? Where people go seeking a church for performance rather than faithful preaching. Where people will shop around seeking style rather than substance. And we must not shop around for churches because we think we've found somewhere that suits the aim of entertainment rather than being taught, rebuked, corrected and trained in righteousness. Preachers, on the other hand, preachers should never be boring. Preachers should never be boring. We're proclaiming the depths and the mysteries of the gospel of Christ. That transforms lives. That should never be boring. And we never know which sermon we hear will be our last sermon. Every sermon is urgent. Listening to a sermon can be the difference between spiritual life and spiritual death. Puritan preacher Richard Baxter, he said this, "I preached as never sure to preach again, as a dying man to dying men." We've heard that through every biblical, faithfully preached sermon, we hear God's voice. And it says in Psalm 95, it says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Every time the gospel is preached in the sermon, we should repent again. Whether that's the first time or the 100th time. We should repent again, trust in Christ again. The call for repentance and trust in Christ isn't just for the new believer and the non-Christian. To repent and to believe is the call of every Christian, week by week, sermon by sermon. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Every time the word of God is preached, we must respond. From turning from sin, turning to Christ. The booklet, it kind of ends this section with a story of the devil with junior devils asking for ideas what it takes to make a human being fall into sin. And after a bit of discussion, you can read this in the book, but after a bit of discussion, one perks up and says, "How about telling them there's no hurry?" And the senior devil warmly congratulates him and says, "That's exactly the message that will be most widely believed and will do the most harm." To hear a sermon and not to respond is worse than not hearing at all. So when you say to yourself, "Oh, I'll think about it tomorrow," you must tell yourself, "No, today I have heard his voice and I must respond today." As the listener week in, week out, as a listener does this week in, week out, month after month, year after year, it shapes us. It shapes us every Sunday to look more and more like Christ. And that is the aim of a sermon. In the booklet, I'm finishing now, but in the booklet it gives practical steps from each section on how to listen to sermons. They're really helpful. All of them, the great emphasis is on prayer as well. We can't do this alone. And we need to make sure we pray. But I thought one point that would be worth mentioning out of those practical steps is something that I want to start doing from reading this booklet as well. Maybe you'll find it helpful too. But he suggests after every single sermon that we write down precisely some kind of action we need to take to obey that Bible passage. That might be a change of heart. It might be changing the way we speak or changing some kind of action we need to stop doing or start doing. Whatever it is, write it down. And then return to it in a week's time, return to it in a month's time, and ask yourself, has this made a difference to my life? And then he says, pray it in, pray it in, pray it in. For God's work to be done in your life. Today is the day of salvation. Every single one of us today needs that fresh turning from sin and turning to Christ. Spurgeon again said, sincere repentance is continual. Believers repent until their dying day. I pray that from this platform, this pulpit, people will expect to hear God speak week by week. That we will consider how to listen carefully. That week by week, year after year, by His grace, by His Holy Spirit, we will grow. We will be moulded and transformed altogether into Christ-likeness. Amen.